seated. I noticed as the Julian family came in, their number one son is taller than the rest of them. What kind of fertilizer are you giving him? All right, if the children want to go out for children's church, you are excused. Jaden, I like that green bow tie and those suspenders. That's good. See, you know why I like them? I'm wearing suspenders too. Okay. It is so good to be able to come and worship together. It is. It is just a special part. People who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ do not know what a wonderful thing it is to be able to go and fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And it doesn't have to be just church, but just like we men last night, going out and having fellowship together and eating together and being a blessing to people around us. And so I told the Sunday school class this morning, I think it was AB that mentioned it, that the waitress came out after he had paid the bill and thanked him for the rest of the men. We left an unusual tip for her, and she was really blessed by it, and the Lord said to do that, and we did it. So whatever the Lord lays on your heart, we're going to be talking about the message this morning is, why was the Holy Spirit given unto us? And there is a very real reason for that. And it's a very important reason. Tonight, we're going to look at a little bit of heaven. So if you want to know a little bit about heaven, just a glimpse, we're going to look at that tonight as we study the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. We've got a couple nights left in that yet, so but tonight we'll be looking at a little bit of heaven. But this morning, I think it's very important that we answer the question, why did God give us the Holy Spirit? Turn to 1 John. If you're a Christian here this morning, you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have been born again. Then the Holy Spirit is living in you. If you have never done that, He is not living in you. You do not know Him. That's what the Bible says. Not me, not the church, not the people in the church. But John, the one who wrote the book of Revelation, who also wrote the Gospel of John, John and his three little short letters at the end of the New Testament, tells us something very special in the first four verses of his little epistle. So let's look at that together. Verses 1 through 4 of 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. There's a big difference between joy and happiness. The world is seeking happiness. They will never find joy in the places they are looking. Joy is inside. It is not outside. Happiness is outside. It's brief. It's transient. If I ask the question, why was the Holy Spirit given unto us? If there were 20 people gathered here, we'd probably have 20 different answers. But I want us to consider the answer that John gave under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the answer to the question is found in the fourth verse that I just read unto you. There is only one part of the four verses that pertain to us, and we can't claim any part of the other three verses. It's all part of the Bible. Why can't we claim all of it for ourselves? We can't claim it because we were not there when it happened. Only the disciples were actually there. We hadn't even been yet. What is being spoken of took place 2,000 years ago. And yet, we have a claim to part of it. What a wonderful thing. I don't know what kind of a week you folks have had. For some of us, some that I have talked with, it's been a very difficult week. I think that our enemy, the devil, planned a special week for Christians in a lot of places. And I think he did it to frustrate us. I think he did it to discourage us, to keep us from doing the things that the Lord wanted us to do, from achieving the things God wanted us to achieve this week. For the last few weeks, excluding Mother's Day, we've been studying about the Holy Spirit. And I hope that you have been learning. We saw him come to the disciples and those gathered in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. That was 50 days after Christ had risen from the dead. Pentecost was a Jewish holiday, still is. It was celebrated after the Passover. It ties back to the Jews' escape from Egypt, from the Egyptian slavery and captivity. Under the leadership of Moses, they left all of that. Isn't it interesting that God chose that moment in time to send his Holy Spirit to the Christians? To those who had been born again. Isn't that interesting? He gave us a short little picture of the Jews escaping from Egypt, setting out on 40 years of wandering around in the desert. Now, they didn't have the Holy Spirit living in their hearts. They had faith, and the ones who had faith are in heaven today with the Lord. But every single genuine born-again Christian has the Holy Spirit living in their heart. And if you want to know the answer to the question, why is he there? He is there for you to give you the fullness of joy. The fullness. And like I said, this has been an unusually difficult week for many different Christians, many different people. I don't know whether it's been for you, but it has been for many. Yet, as we meet together here, I've still got joy in my heart. I am so glad to see all of you guys. I don't know how many hugs I got this morning, but there was a bunch. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Wow. God is great. And He wants to make sure that you have the fullness of His joy. Now, the Holy Spirit began to indwell believers after that day of Pentecost. Whenever anyone believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwelled them. It still is happening today. Why does God continue to do that? One of the things that Scripture brings is knowledge. One of the things the Holy Spirit brings is knowledge. Does that mean that God thinks that we are stupid? No, that's not the reason. Another thing that the Spirit brings is wisdom. Does that mean that God thinks that we are not wise? Well, in some cases, that might be true. But that's not the reason He gave them to us. Look at verse 4 of 1 John 1 again, one time. I want you to look at this. I want this burned into your memory. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Full. Not half full. Not a little bit full. But full right to the edge. You add one more drop and it's going to start pouring over the edge. That's what God wants for you. Now, He's not going to force you to do that or be that, because God doesn't work that way. God loves you, but He has given you self-will, freedom to decide for yourself how you want to do things. And so many Christians get wrapped up in the world and things of the world that they don't get the fullness of joy. The world comes in there and takes a place inside of them, and they can't have full joy anymore. Now, I know that independent Baptists have been called stiff-necked. That's what God used to call His people in the Old Testament. And you know why He called them that? Because they did not take advantage of what God was holding out as a gift to them. And sometimes Christians do the same thing. I do not understand, folks. We are living in the last days. I really believe that. I believe we're living in the last days. Some of us are going to see the rapture. That's when God takes the church and everybody in the church that is born again out of this world. And we will be with Him for eternity. Now that's special. So why do we want to hug the world? Why do we want a part of the world in us when we could have the joy of the Lord in us and we could be experiencing this joy? But there are those who do not, because they get involved with the world. There are some awful things going on in the world. I don't have to tell you that. You've heard the news over the last 2 or 3 weeks. You've heard the news over the last 5 or 6 years. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Is that because God doesn't care? No, he cares. He loves his creation. He loves every man and woman on the face of the earth. He loves the baby in the womb, because he gave that baby in the womb a spirit to give it life. He gave it a soul to give it a potential for eternity. And he gave it a body. And since, well, back in the 1950s, they've been destroying those babies in the mother's wombs. Millions. Over 60 million in the United States alone. Think of what our population would be. No joy in that. So, as the Lord began to minister to people, he sent the Holy Spirit. As we think about the reason that our joy may be full, that thought brings up another question for me. And the question is pretty important to us as to how we answer it. Your answer will make all the difference as to whether you really have faith or if you may just be pretending that you are happy with your relationship to our Heavenly Father. This morning, I want all of you to give some serious thought as to God, as to what gives us joy. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Galatians 5:22, and it tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The other day, you know from Sunday school, I keep interrupting Tim. Not because he hasn't got his lesson well prepared, he does. Not because what he's saying isn't true, because it is. No, I keep thinking of illustrations, of examples that we might use to learn something about. It's all about us sharing with each other to make all of us a little wiser. A couple weeks ago, I decided I did not want to go home for lunch. There was no dog to greet me. There was nobody to talk to. So I decided I would go out. And I went to a restaurant that I like. And they had one of my favorite things on the menu in two sizes, small and a little larger. And being the good guy that I want to be, you notice I'm not turning sideways, or you can see a profile. I took the smaller portion and I ate it, and it was delicious. But there wasn't enough of it. So the next time when I took Amy and Berkeley out to lunch, I had a larger portion, didn't I? It was just as delicious. But I left feeling full. When I was done with that first meal, I wasn't full. And I'm afraid that the next time I went there, I had to order a bigger portion. You know, when it comes to joy, John was talking about fullness of joy. Not a little joy. He wants you, everyone sitting here this morning, he wants you to be full of joy. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what kind of pain you may be going through or what kind of healing is taking place in your life, he wants you to be full of joy. And so he has given you his Holy Spirit at the instant that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, so that you could be full of joy. I wonder, have you given any thought as to what it might mean to have your joy full? Now, it starts at the beginning of the day. When you open your eyes and you look at the alarm clock and understand that it's time to get up and serve the Lord, because that's what he gave you the day for. Your thoughts jump ahead to what God may have given you to do that day. For many people, they're reluctant to get up because at heart, they are a pessimist. I hope you're not. They think about the hard or the difficult things of the day instead of the pleasant things that we can do for God, or ask God to help us do the things that we can't do ourselves. Psalm 118:24 tells us this: "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Folks, listen to this. "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We, all of us, will rejoice and be glad in it." Years ago, a friend of ours did a cross stitch of that verse. It hangs on my bedroom wall. That's the first thing I get a chance to see in the morning, is that verse. This is the day. Today, right now, is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Some of us may have some reasons for not wanting to be happy, but we're not talking about happiness. We're talking about joy. We're talking about inside. Of course, life isn't happy. There are some hard things in life. And those hard things take away the happiness. But folks, we can still have joy, even at times like that. All of us. You know, a few minutes ago, I saw real joy in this church. You know what we were doing? We were hugging. We were greeting one another. Did that make you sad? Did that make you unhappy? I saw real joy, and it was coming from inside of you folks. And that's why John wrote the things he did. He said, because we want your joy to be full. I saw some full joy. Now, I have to admit that I'm thankful to the Lord when I wake up, either from on my back in the bed or sitting on the side of the bed. I am glad. My first words are almost always, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me another day." I don't think about what's ahead of me that day yet. That can get discouraging at times. The next thing I see is this hand embroidered hanging on a wall hanging that has Psalm 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. After those two things, I hope that I'm not looking grumpy, okay? I have to admit this to all of you. You know, I want to be as honest as I can be with you. I don't always look at the mirror when I go in the bathroom. I don't want to know who that ugly old guy is. I'll figure that out later. All of us need to spend more time talking to the Holy Spirit. Do you talk to Him? Do you talk to Him? You talk to God. He's part of God. Talk to the Holy Spirit. If I think about Him, I'm not alone anymore. If you think about Him, you're not alone anymore either, because He's living in here. Somewhere in this body that you're wearing. He's always there. There are times when I sometimes look at my own needs and forget that He is there. I forget about God's will for me. And that's a pretty normal thing for us as human beings to do. We have an old nature that also lives in here. That old nature is somewhat selfish. We can cater to it without even thinking. Actually, the old nature makes us unhappy overall. It can't successfully do what it wants to do because God's Holy Spirit keeps us in check. You're here this morning because the Holy Spirit motivated you to be here. Now, I'd be wrong for me to share the whole truth with if I don't share the whole truth with you. There are times when I don't want to talk to the Holy Spirit because He knows that the plans that I have made are not exactly the plans that goes along with God's will. And we all have days like that. We make our own plans. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And I think that's probably one of the things that causes God to laugh the most. When we tell Him what our plans are. Because you see, He knows what His plans are. And His plans are the ones that are going to work. Let me ask you a question. I love questions. Because sometimes it causes us to think inside. How important are your plans to you? How important are your plans to you? Do you, or are they, soft enough to let God do what He wants with you? Now, many of you have got jobs. You got things you're supposed to be doing every day. And God is not the God of chaos. Bible tells us He's not the author of chaos in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But sometimes We have chaos in our lives of one kind or another because we have made our plans and we are going ahead with them in spite of what God is telling us. When Tim and I were picking out Sunday school topics several months ago, and we came to this topic about God talking to us, it seemed like a pretty good topic. Because you know what? He wants to do that every day. Every day. And it's not him up there. It's him in here. Think about that. He lives in you. He lives in you. Right now, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is living in you right now. All the wisdom in eternity is there. It's a potential for you. Why? That your joy might be full. If you're unhappy with life right now, you've got a heart problem. Yeah. If you're unhappy with life right now, you have a heart problem because the Holy Spirit is supposed to be living in there. And He is there to make your joy full. That's what John told us. We all of us need to spend more time talking to the Holy Spirit. He's with you. If you think about Him, you're not alone anymore. You've got some counsel. Would it be wrong for me not to talk to Him, knowing He is part of me? Joy is from God. Happiness is usually from the world. If you have the Spirit indwelling your soul, you will always have joy available to you, but you do not necessarily have to experience it. You can quench the Spirit by doing your thing, your way. I heard somebody just say, then you're in trouble. That's right. That's right. If you've lost your joy, you've entered into some sin of some sort. I want to tell you right now so that you can be thinking about this. I started to say something about it earlier. One of the accusations that we get made against us, oh, you're one of those straight-laced Baptists. Yeah, I am. There are places I do not go. Places like, and I'm going to name a couple of them. And some of you may feel guilty. Good. That's not me, that's the Holy Spirit. I would never, intentionally or voluntarily, go to Disney World. Because Disney World stands for everything that this book is against. Everything that this book is against, you will find at Disney World. There are other places. I wouldn't go to a casino in Las Vegas. Now, there are places we have to go. Are you going to eat out? Most of the places think it's necessary for them to serve beer and wine. Do I say, no, you can't go there? No, I don't. And you know why? Because God is consistent. If he's anything, nothing else, he is consistent. I'm going to ask just a couple questions so you can be thinking about this. We need to be thinking about this. When you're by yourself, you need to be thinking about what God wants for you so that your joy can be full. The place you buy groceries every week, does it sell alcohol? I know it does. I don't know of a place that doesn't. So we have to go there. But we don't have to buy the alcohol. Many churches today are going out of business because they began to promote social drinking. The church that Connie and I spent 34 years in is going away because they changed administration. The pastor finally went home to be with the Lord at 90-some years old. And the new pastor coming in started to permit social drinking. I can't go to church there. I won't go to church there. Folks, you have to choose God's way or your way. Your way will not involve the fullness of joy. God told us that. It was almost a promise. My ways are not your ways. My ways are above your ways. That's what he said. And it's true. Why did God give us the Holy Spirit? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. He wants you to have the fullness of joy. And if you do not have it, you need to check your spiritual heart and find out what's there that is interfering. I'm so glad that God loves us. I want to share just a couple of verses with you and we'll close. Psalm 51, 15 through 7 says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou desirest not in burnt offerings, delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, that you will not despise. Contrite hearts, hearts that are sorrowful for sin. One other verse, Psalm 34, 17 and 18. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Oh, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. If you will be sorry for your sin, God will do something about it, and he will do something for you. Father, I know this is Memorial Day, and a lot of people all over the world have loved their country and have given their lives in behalf of their country so that we can know your word, live your word, and preach your word. Father, this message has not been about memorials. It's been about you and your Holy Spirit. Father, may He use us to be your ambassadors. May He motivate us to be obedient to your word and the principles that we find within that word. Father, grow us as a church, as a ministry, and help us to reach out to the world and, Father, to be a comfort to them. Jesus Christ called your Holy Spirit the Comforter. May through us, He be that to the world also. Thank you, Father, for giving us this time here this morning. May your will be done in every life. And we will praise you for what you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.